You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Twenty minutes after 12 on Zoomer Radio. Let's talk a bit, as I said earlier, about money. Those of you who wanted to add your thoughts to the quarry issue will have a few minutes at the end of the show. Please hold your fire and then call back at that point. Right now, we want to talk about, as I say, money. How to save a little of it? I mean, we know how to spend it. Nobody needs a lesson, I think, on how to run up credit cards. It's way, way too easy. But in terms of saving a little money and acting sensibly, we have Lori Campbell on the line. She's one of our regular guests. She's the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions. Here was some information, I believe, Lori, that we can use.
Yes, all practical information, Dale. You know, a lot of times people think, I can't save money. I don't have any money. I don't even know where to begin. But usually it's a matter of reviewing your budget, looking at areas that perhaps you can cut back a little bit, in which in the long run will make a big difference.
Yeah. Now, you've separated your thoughts on savings to three separate purposes. Essentially, what? Short, medium, and long-term saving, right?
That's correct. You know, the purpose of that really is, Dale, is that people often think in their lives, whatever their goals may be, what they want to achieve in a very short period of time, what they want to achieve over a medium length of time, and what they want to achieve over their lifetime. And financial goals should be the same. You shouldn't be categorizing, okay, I need to put all my money away so I can save for retirement. That'll get awfully dull awfully fast.
Yeah.
So,
not if you, depending on how old
like
you are. I don't know how dull that is if you're, never mind. It's another day, another topic. But I take your point, yes.
Yes, and so the short-term goals are important so that you can actually see some small wins.
Mm-hmm.
And often people get very discouraged, whether it's a budget, a diet, a financial plan, whatever the case may be, because they don't see progress. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they've been doing it for something for 2 months, and they don't feel like they're getting anywhere, and they think, what's the point? The progress has been so minimal, I see no point in trying to continue this over a long period of time.
And it has a nice old-fashioned ring to it, doesn't it? Because in the old days, you saved up for things. In modern times, you slap down the plastic and you pay for it later.
Exactly. It's certainly a different world we're living in. I mean, save for a rainy day,
yeah.
Save up and buy something certainly was something from days gone by, not today. But I don't think that's a bad mindset. I mean, you know, as you mentioned earlier, we all know how to use credit far too well. Debt has never been higher in Canada.
Yeah.
We know there's an economic crisis all over the world. And how can we stave off our own situations to make sure that we are prepared and perhaps progressing towards financial goals?
Okay, well, now let's talk about the other two categories that you've delineated here. Medium-term goals. What do you mean by medium-term?
Well, medium-term goals are those things that I would suggest you meet within the next 5 years. You know, it could be saving for the purchase of a house, saving up for a down payment on a car, something that you feel that is important enough that you can put some long-term savings towards, but you want to be able to actualize that within about a five-year period. It's not over a lifetime, such as long-term goals, but something you feel that you want to work towards that you can actually continue to build on over a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And then long-term goals. I guess that's retirement, right?
Yeah, that's retirement goals to be met within 10 years or longer. Hopefully something that, you know, you set up a retirement plan and you just put so much money in it every month and you kind of ignore it because it's over time and you know you're not going to actually be cashing in and using that money anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, the whole process of savings means that we have to look at how much money we spend in any given month. And if we're in the particular circumstance where we spend every nickel every month, where are we going to find the money?
Exactly. And that's, you know, sometimes you have to kind of think backwards instead of forwards on this kind of stuff. A lot of times we often tell ourselves, I have no money. When my paycheck comes in, I spend it, and then the next paycheck comes in, and I have nothing from the previous one. And this is something we hear time and time and time again. But that's where you have to start really writing down where you're spending the money, and I'm not suggesting you do it all the time, but have a spending plan or figure out where your money's going, and if there's any even small, minute areas you can cut back on, maybe it's the coffee a day that you're having that you can actually put into savings. Maybe you're buying lunch every day and it's costing you $10 a day. Huh. That's huge over a year. And yeah. Over a period of time. So you really have to take a look at your budget and find out the small little areas you can cut back. Yes, there's no doubt that people are trying to make ends meet with a greater degree of difficulty today because of high debt levels. Let's face it, paychecks are not going up. People are often losing their jobs. But there's often a little bit of a cushion somewhere. Or a change of habits somewhere that can mean some type of savings.
And if we actually write it down, even for a month or two, just to give us an indication, is it fair to say that many people might be surprised as to exactly where and how they're spending their money?
There's no doubt in my mind that people will be surprised as to where and how they're spending their money. I mean, there's that old age-old line. You know, I went to the bank yesterday, I withdrew $40, and I don't know where it went. Today, I don't know. I've got $5 left in my pocket. And, you know, if you don't know where it went from yesterday to today, my guess is you don't know where your money is going in general.
But it's a question of, I mean, when you look at the budgeting requires looking at your life, and some people find that painful.
What is painful?
I'm sure. But, I mean, if you're looking at your life, you have to decide things that you can live with in terms of cutting back, but things that you cannot live without. Because you gotta factor in a bit of lifestyle here, a bit of quality of life, or it's not going to be worth it.
Exactly. You know, and that's a key factor is that, you know, when we talk about this kind of stuff, we don't talk, you shouldn't feel deprived. The goal that you set should be higher and greater than what you're taking away from your daily life in order to achieve that goal. For example, you know, if your goal is to go on a trip in a year or in 6 months, that you should be able to feel so much better about being able to achieve that goal than giving up that cafe latte or whatever it is that you need to give up in order to achieve that goal. So, you know, I'm not suggesting that people deprive themselves to the extent that they think that life isn't even worth living, you know, because that's what we often hear. It's like, well,
no,
what's the
coffee,
point of life anyway?
No, yeah, that's right. No coffee. I can't have a beer. I can't blah, 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 blah. Do you do a budget thing yourself?
You know, I used to do it all the time, and it becomes very second nature. And that's the thing. I never, ever buy my lunch. It's just, I used to buy my lunch.
Big time CEO, and you don't buy any lunch. Whoa, all right.
That's so cheap.
Okay.
I mean, I can't stomach spending my money that way. Whereas before, I didn't mind. But, you know, you start to realize, like, oh, it's not really worth it. I'd rather have the money for something else.
For the pleasure and utility it gives you, it's not worth the bucks you're spending,
exactly.
Essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll bring my old sandwich.
Yeah, but and I think you hit upon something. You know, because drawing up a budget for yourself is even more tiresome than watching a government do it. But if you're drawing up a budget, you may not have to do it month after month after month, because once you get a picture in your mind of where the money is going, you can just live a budget, can you not?
Exactly. And there's always that famous statement that you hear from so many financial planners, which I totally agree with, is that pay yourself first. So, you know, okay, fine. You know, perhaps when you are eating $10 a day out for lunch, you can't pay yourself first. You stop doing that, then fine. You put that money aside. You don't think about an actual budget where you're writing things down. And suddenly you're paying yourself $200 a month or whatever the case may be. In an emergency plan or into an RSP or whatever it is, and you're taking it off the top. You're, as soon as you get your pay, it's coming out of your account and it's going somewhere else where you can't
see
it or touch it.
Even that's $2,400 a year.
It's huge money,
and
it fascinates me how a little bit of money can add up. And people will often say, well, I can't afford that kind of money. Well, then start with $20. Start with something small. Because even $20 a pay, and you get paid, let's say, twice a month, you know, that adds up. That's almost $500 a year.
Mm-hmm. And then you pay for, you save for something short term. You go out and buy that thing. And you're probably going to feel better about it, if you think about it, than just putting it on the plastic, I'm thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, it's, if you're putting on plastic and you're only making a minimum payment on it month after month after month, the truth of the matter is you're probably paying double for that piece of whatever article you're buying.
Well, so you can either pay yourself now in terms of putting it into the savings account, or you can visit Lori Campbell later and have her try to get you out of your debt problem because, boy, oh, boy. There's a lot of debt out there.
You can forever be beholden to the creditors, to big banks and finance companies, whatever the case may be, and be paying them.
Yeah.
You're giving them. You might as well just hand over your paycheck to them. And that's what bugs me. I'm sure people wouldn't want to do that. And why should the banks get richer and we get poorer?
Okay. Now I'm going to keep you around for another segment. And in the next segment, we'll talk about how we actually do that. What are the different ways we can save? Do we put it in a piggy bank, an old peanut butter jar? Do we do it digitally? How do we do all those things? And if you'd like to join in with your thoughts or questions, here are the numbers, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
We're talking to Lori Campbell. She's giving us some good advice on saving money. She's the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions. And now we're going to talk a bit about exactly how we do that. It's one thing to say you're going to save money. How exactly do you do that? Got any thoughts on that, Lori?
Well, it's the practicality of it, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about one method kind of a little bit beforehand, and that was the idea of having, pay yourself first.
Yeah.
And there's lots of savings programs through employers where you can actually say, look, set me up for a savings bond, take $50 a pay and put into a savings bond and I can't see it and I won't touch it. So that's one easy method. But, another one is to have two bank accounts, and one is a savings and a checking, and have your pay go into your checking and have the bank take $100 or whatever it is, a pay out of your checking into your savings every pay, so that automatically goes into a separate account or into an RSP or whatever the case may be.
Or a TFSA, for example.
Exactly.
That would be a good one. On short term, that would be a good way to do it, wouldn't it?
It's a fantastic way to do it. And, it's one of those things that we often forget about.
Yeah.
But in order to make sure that you don't spend the money you're going to save, there's a number of methods to try to manage your money better. And one of them is a very simple method. And it may seem a little bit simple for people, but it's called the envelope method, where you put money aside in envelopes that you are going to spend on certain areas so that you don't overspend and you don't spend that savings money unnecessarily or without thinking. And, so you can put entertainment.
So real cash, you put it in an envelope.
Real cash, you put it $50 for entertainment, $100 for toiletries or whatever the case may be. And then when you run out of that money, you're done and you can't spend any more of that. Now, a lot of people don't like to carry around huge amounts of cash. So it becomes difficult. But if you're one of those people that has to work with cash and only can seem to manage that way because once you start using debit cards or credit cards, you find that it's easy to overspend, this might be a method for you.
Well, and there's something to be said for cash. They still take it,
Cash is still king.
It is, isn't it?
I don't care what anyone says. I think it's the best method of all. It really feels painful when you let go of cash.
It does. You really get a full flavor of the bean when you hand over those 20s, right?
Yeah, okay. I hate handing over cash.
Yeah, you would. I can imagine that you would. Now, one of your methods here is called the receipt method. What do you mean by that?
Well, the receipt method is a little of a backwards method in that you're actually totaling things up as you go along rather than taking money out. But with the receipt method, if you go grocery shopping, you spend $100 on groceries, then you take that receipt, put it in that envelope, so that if you have say your total is $400 for groceries, when you've got $400 worth of receipts in there for groceries, you're done.
Yeah.
With your grocery allocation. So you can go like that along the method for each category.
Yeah, okay. And the journaling method, I'm not sure I know what that means.
Well, the journaling method is, again, it's kind of like, when you write a check almost. So with the journaling method, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, I have $500 available for groceries.
Yeah.
I spend $120, I take $500, I subtract the $120 from it, now I only have $380 left available for groceries. And you categorically journal entry each time you spend in each item department, so that at the end you should be hitting zero for each one of them, and you shouldn't be shouldn't have any negatives along the bottom. Or
right,
be in trouble.
Of course, exactly. Now, in all of this saving for, you know, buying something, saving for a holiday, is different, I guess, in your mind from, say, establishing an emergency fund, right? Is that something different?
Yeah,
it's really saving,
sure
though. But it's
it is saving.
But you're saving to get there, maybe.
Yeah, you're saving to get there, and those are kind of, I would consider, wants. You know, you want to go on a vacation, something to look forward to. You feel good about it. The problem with so many Canadians right now is they don't have emergency savings. And what happens, Dale, if they lose their job or some significant emergency happens, they are either relying on credit or tapping into their long-term savings, such as their RRSPs.
Yeah.
You know, and we see this time and time again. You know, Canadians really are one paycheck away from financial disaster, and that bothers me, because what that means is that if they lost their job today, tomorrow they're going to have to look at really serious means of managing their finances, and that usually means tapping into your line of credit or your credit cards.
Yeah.
It means tapping into your RRSPs. Well, you start cashing in your RRSPs, you're going to have another debt called, you know, Revenue Canada after
well,
you get the tax.
Well, that's right. You'll have to pay immediately on that, won't you?
Yeah, you'll pay immediately, and if you don't pay enough, if they're going to come after you, they'll find you, no matter where you are.
Yeah, that's for sure. How big an emergency fund should one have?
Well, you know, the rule of thumb is about, and this people will go, holy Lord, but it's about 3 to 6 months of your income.
Holy, right. Yeah, I
know, holy Lord. It seems like a lot of money, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
but
does.
The truth of the matter is that it takes that long to get back into the workforce, into a comparable job. If you're lucky nowadays.
If you're lucky, yeah, maybe lucky. even if you can. I mean, that's a whole other story, isn't
it? If you can, right?
Yeah.
And so it takes that long to get back into the workforce and get a job in a comparable comparable rate and a comparable salary. So that money will actually tide you over. And, you know, they always say looking for a job is a full-time job. But if you're stressed out about your finances, you know, it's like going on a first date. If you're desperate, you'll never get a second. So if you go into, you know, a potential employer's office for a job interview and you seem desperate because you have all these bills and the financial stress,
I get it.
Shows.
Okay. Here's Tom on the line from Mississauga. Tom, do you have a thought?
Yeah, I have a strange thing. It's actually, I'm paranoid of government. So let's say I did pretty good on my RSPs, which I shouldn't even be getting into yet. But they could change the laws on me any day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen it happen, let's say, in the past year, where the retirement age for me is supposed to be 65.
Yeah, but that won't change. That won't change the money in your RSP.
No. But the thing is, they could pass a law and say that when you turn 55, 40% tax on it. Like I said, that 67 retirement thing came in out of the blue.
So then what do you do to compensate then? What do you do to fight what you consider to be an untrustworthy government?
See, that's what I don't know, because I see so many things now, like with increased taxation and new inventions of different taxes, whether it's an eco tax or anything that we have, especially with the provincial government. But even the federal government came up with this 67 thing. That was never even mentioned before, right?
No. Tom, thanks very much. Let's get some feedback from Laurie in terms of what you're saying. Yeah, things can come up that are unexpected, but if you don't try to save money, not going to be prepared no matter what comes up, right?
Yeah, sticking your money under your mattress isn't going to be any better.
Yeah.
And I understand Tom's concern, because taxes are keep going up and up and up, and you know even promises of reducing taxes don't seem to happen. But I think if they're going to make any significant changes to something called RRSPs or anything like that, what they will do is they will grandfather those RRSPs you have in now, and then perhaps it'll be new ones from here on in. I can't even begin to imagine they can change the rules.
Oh, there would be such an uproar. Are you
starting with me?
Well, then I'd be right behind you, I think, as well. I mean, enough circumstances financially are changed on our behalves with us having nothing to do with it. We don't need more of that. We need less.
Exactly.
Yeah. How many people are saving these days anyway?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I haven't got the most recent statistics. There's news out there that, you know, debt is starting to level off, which is good news.
Yeah.
The savings rates for Canadians have been so low in the last 3 or 4 years. In fact, in the last 2 years, it's lower than the U.S., And we should all be concerned about that, because the U.S. has never, they've never been great savers compared to Canadians.
And we're even worse.
Apparently. Yeah. I mean, we used to always be a nation of savers and very conservative. And I don't know, we've just kind of gone, like, you know, a little crazy lately.
Well, it's just that whole easy money thing. The idea that, you know, buy now, pay later. I mean, it's an old, old saying, but it was never truer than it is today.
Yes, it hasn't been, and you know, I think that we're going to be facing, unfortunately, and I hate to say it, some very trying times with the economy and with the market, and also with the housing market as well. And I think that as Canadians, we need to start being a little bit more conservative.
All right, let's take one last call. Here's Marilyn on the line. Marilyn, do you have a good thought for us?
Yes, my husband is terrible at saving money.
Yeah.
What I did was I had him open a tax-free savings account.
Yeah.
And he puts money in there every month, right out of any money he gets.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the year, he has a decent amount ahead if anything happens.
You know, and it's such a great idea. The idea of you get paid, you put the money in right away so you don't miss it, take it off the top. Tax-free savings account's an excellent vehicle to put it in. And you know what? I always think about this way. If your boss came to you today and said, look, we're going to reduce your salary by 10%, you'd manage because you have to. So why not do it for yourself and put that money away?
Be in charge yourself, right?
Be in charge.
Marilyn, thanks very much. That's a great idea. Lori, thank you very much as well for taking time out to be with us today.
Happy to.
Okay. Bye for now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Lori Campbell is the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.